It's BS with Bob Schmidt here on today's Talk 1490. My first guest this morning is Chief Jeff Trotnick from the Unalaska Police Department. And Jeff and I have had conversations a lot of times over the years that he's been here. And welcome back to the show, Chief. Just wanted to say that, you know, I think it's really cool that that you step up and that you do different things for the community, from the National Night Out that you guys do to some of the other events, to this event. You're constantly doing stuff for the community, and I find that great, that being a public servant, that you're doing things for the public above and beyond your, you know, your job.
Well, it's something that I enjoy. I know it's something that even the police officers enjoy, especially like with our National Night Out program that we do in August. It's one of our favorite events. And this event, Celebrate Unalaska, kind of grew out of the National Night Out concept that we started when I got here.
Mm-hmm. So explain to me, what is Celebrate Unalaska?
Well, Celebrate Unalaska is really just a bigger version of National Night Out. It's just another, I really wanted to take National Night Out to a bigger scale. I see how much enjoyment that families get out of coming to our program in August. We offer a lot of things for families to do in that 3.5 hour time period. One of the things that I heard while I was down at the grounds periodically is they wish there was something a little bit bigger like this. Mm-hmm. It got me thinking about doing a weekend-long event, and that's kind of how Celebrate Unalaska grew. It's not really just for Unalaska. It's for anybody, you know, in the Coulee region or further that wants to come in and just enjoy a weekend. It's really important for me when we build things like this that it's all-inclusive. You know, everybody can come out and enjoy it. There's nobody on the outside looking in wishing they could participate. So
right.
I've taken a lot of pride in the committee that helped form this and keep that mission going for the third year now.
So this is year number three for doing the Celebrate Unalaska. What's the cost for a button?
Nothing. It's a free event.
So everybody can come for free?
Everybody
can. Well, that means you probably got nothing going on, right? No bands, no things to do, no fun.
Well, for this this event, you know, for something that's part of the enjoyment that I get out of it is, we do offer what I think is good entertainment for really nothing.
I think it's pretty cool because you and I had lunch a couple weeks ago. We were talking about just some of the bands you're bringing in, Pat McCurdy, which I think is really cool. I know that Pat's got a huge following of people that like to come and just watch him play and sing. Studebaker Seven's playing. You've also got an orchestra that's playing like rock and roll band stuff, right?
Yeah, it's Vic Ferrari Symphony on the Rock. We had Vic Ferrari in last year. I'd never heard of them before that. Mm-hmm. I think they have a following around here. They used to play more in this area. Talking to them last year, they were excited to get back to this side of the state. They're from the east side of the state. And they put on a rockin' show last year that really impressed me. They called back this year. Mm-hmm. I talked to them last year, told them we'd be interested in having them back, but they wanted to bring their Symphony on the Rocks program back, which is basically Vic Ferrari, just in general, is like a 7 or 8-piece band. This will be a 30-piece band.
Oh, wow. And so what kind of music do they play, Jeff?
Well, one of the things that they do is just a wide array of music. You know, they play Supertramp, Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, Chicago, Pink Floyd, Ozzy Osbourne, Billy Joel, The Who, Styx, that area of music. Again, really, they bring a lot of excitement to the stage. Their light show is awesome. Once it gets dark, I'm excited to hear the symphony aspect of it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. One thing that, for those that follow Vic Ferrari, they it's very rare that they'll get the opportunity to see their symphony component as part of this, because I think they only use it 3 or 4 times a year.
Oh, wow. And Celebrate Unalaska is part of the 3 or 4 times a year that they're doing. That's pretty – and the cost is awesome because it's free.
It is free. It's I've looked at some of their concerts they've done, like their Symphony on the Rock across the state, where – they actually do it indoors, and they actually charge to get in. Mm-hmm. It's a sellout every year, from what I understand, at most of these that they play. And again, it's bringing in quality entertainment that, as a committee, that we can afford, And it really is just affordable because people actually support us through the sponsorship. One of my goals is to have the budget paid for through sponsorships, and for the third year now, we've been able to do that.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Actually, you should listen at 8:35 this morning. I'll be talking to a lady about putting on the secrets to a successful event.
Okay.
So I'll have her on at 8:35.
Nice.
You talk to I think it's pretty awesome you guys are doing this. It's this weekend. It starts on Friday.
It starts on Friday. Like I said, one of the things that we do are very family oriented. Mm-hmm. Friday we've kind of retweaked this year. We're doing two time periods. One is going to be from 5 to 8, where it really is geared towards the bringing out the family and enjoying things. Like, we're going to have inflatables, face painting, Home Depot's Kid Workshop's going to be there. The Onalaska Police Department is sponsoring the 5 to 8 part. We're going to have a police car display, our child ID machine, our robotic police car. The helicopter's coming in and landing Friday night.
The Medlink one?
The Medlink one will be there at 7 p.m. I found a buffalo. We're bringing a buffalo in to be on hand. I mean, I look at it as how many times can you
see a buffalo?
Yeah, see a buffalo and watch a helicopter land.
Where did you find a buffalo?
Someplace in Houston, Minnesota. They have a thing called Cody the Buffalo. So you can come out and see a helicopter land and get close to a 2,000-pound buffalo.
That's
so
pretty cool. Have you ever been close to a buffalo?
Well, out in
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Yeah, we did that a couple of years ago as a family. And those things are amazingly huge.
Yeah.
So if you're going to see kids, do you get to pet it?
I don't know if they get to pet it. I know it's extremely friendly. It wouldn't surprise me if they get to pet it, but I can't promise you'll get to pet it. But you'll be able to get really close to a 2,000-pound buffalo.
That's pretty cool. That's part of the family fun night at from 5 to 8. And that's all free?
It is free. And the one thing that excites me about that night is we added I call it Swimming Under the Stars, but they call it a dive-in movie, and they're going to put it on at the Aquatic Center from 8:30 to 10:30. Now, that is a $1 admission to Swimming Under the Stars, but they're also showing a movie called Surf's Up as part of that, so that's exciting to me. And, the goal behind that was if there's people that are there as a family and the parents want to stay and listen to LB and the High Volts, which is the band for Friday night, the kids could go over there and swim while the band's playing, or the whole family could go swim. There's no age limit on that.
But right, for a buck though to go swimming in the pool, that's a nice pool plus a movie. That's cool. Where does all the stuff take place anyway?
For Friday night, it's at the Omni Center and the Aquatic Center. That's the main area. And then Saturday night shifts over to the school district property. And again, you already named the lineup. I'm excited about the music. I mean, you got Studebaker 7, who's a local popular band. You got Vic Ferrari. You got Pat McCurdy. Again, it's a night that you can come out and listen to good bands, and you can watch fireworks and have a good time and have a good meal to eat. And there's plenty for the kids to do for Saturday as well, because again, we're going to have all the inflatables, we're going to have games, we're going to have prizes, we're going to have face painting, we're going to have a petting zoo. The same place that bringing Cody the Buffalo. The Buffalo will not be there Saturday, but they're bringing in other animals on Saturday for kids to see.
Okay.
And again, we hear from people all the time, man, we didn't know that thing was free. Mm-hmm. And it's just like our National Night Out program. I still hear people after 8-9 years, it's hard to imagine that you come out there and do all that for free. But again, that's a big part of what I like to do with the families, is make sure that everybody can afford to do what we're offering. And I'm really proud of how much we're offering that's family-oriented
out
there.
Well, you missed a couple of things even, Chief, on Friday with Magic from Isaiah.
I forgot about the entertainment leading up to LB and the High Volts.
Kids will be able to see a magic show, and I'm sure it's going to be a show that parents will enjoy too, because who doesn't like to see a little sleight of hand?
Magic by Isaiah is a wonderful show. We first started using them with our Santa's List program. Last year was the first time I've seen Isaiah, so we partnered with him on that. Our Santa's List program is another program that I'm proud of, but it's a invite only. And then there's also the Steve Mead, the hypnotist. will be there. So you actually, from the family component of it, you get to watch a hypnotist and a magician, and that's the Blue Moon Friday Night Fish Fry as well.
Anything else?
It's action-packed. Come out and enjoy it. It's free.
Is there a dart tournament?
There is a dart tournament being put on by Dusty at the Blue Moon. That's going to be all day Saturday. That's an addition that we gave last year, and it was really fun to go in there and just watch them. We get some of the best dart throwers in the region.
CelebrateOnAlaska.com if you want to see a listing of the schedule. I'm just amazed that this is free. The musical lineup itself, LB and the High Volts on Friday, Studebaker 7 on Saturday, Pat McCurdy, who, like I mentioned at the beginning, a lot of people love on Saturday as well, Vic Ferrari's Symphony on the Rocks, as well as the Festival Foods fireworks. So does the fireworks then starts after Vic's Symphony on the Rocks finishes?
Well, there's going to be...
Oh, it's in between.
Yep, it's going to be in between. So there's going to be two acts going with Vic Ferrari.
Okay, that's cool.
And I'm telling you, I was amazed at the number of people last year that didn't know Vic Ferrari was in the area and wished they would have seen them. And this is the opportunity to come back out and see him again. I would encourage anybody, if they're really curious to know what they can see by coming out and watching Vic Ferrari, go to their website and look at some of their videos. It really is a powerhouse band that they're going to be bringing. And like I said, with just their 7 or 8 from last year, I can't imagine how much better it's going to be with their entire symphony act out there. So there's no place else you're going to be able to come out and see Pat McCurdy and see Vic Ferrari and see a fireworks show all in one night.
It's
for free. You're not going to be able to see this replicated anywhere else.
All right, Jeff,
with those three.
I do have a question. Friday night, Saturday night, people, you know, Friday night, of course, family night happening there, but Saturday, you know, you got a couple of bands there. People are going to get thirsty. You going to have any beverages or any food or any of that stuff?
There is the festival food tent will be there. They will be doing the serving the hamburgers, hot dogs, brats. We're going to be doing cotton candy. We're going to be doing shaved ice. Dan Kapanke will be there with his Dippin' Dots. Over there at the Omni Center where the dart tournament's going to be, there will be a bar. So there will be food and beverages for all ages.
Excellent. A lot of great things happening. Celebrate
the food and beverages are not free.
Okay, so, well, I was going to say
throwing that out there.
I didn't think you just said. Well, I did see what you got, a $2 hot dog meal.
The whole thing for Friday is replicated off National Night Out, which again is to bring a family out, and at National Night Out it's a family of five can eat for $5. A Celebrate on Alaska on Friday night, you can have a family of five to eat for $10. I mean, that's a good deal. I know it's a hot dog meal. You can get the hamburgers and brats for $3 a meal.
Yeah.
The fish fry, I think, is $7.50.
It's affordable, Jeff.
It's highly affordable.
It certainly is. A couple of other things, too. The Rugged Run, we didn't mention that.
Yep, with the Park and Rec, this is the third year doing the Rugged Run. I heard that's I don't participate in Rugged Runs, but those that have really enjoyed it. There's different things that are going on at the Omni Center. We're having a craft market. There's only going to be, I think, a few vendors there, but that'll be fun for us. You know, one of the things leading up to the fireworks, we're trying to give families different things to do other than just sit there and wait for the fireworks. So good music and good entertainment, things for families to do. It's a good time.
That's cool. I mean, the Rugged Run, I see here you have 10 fun obstacles for that. You can sign up with that through the Park and Rec. There's also the Midsummer Slam, which is a volleyball tournament, I'm assuming.
There's a volleyball tournament, like I said, the darts.
Music, craft fair, family fun zone. Pat McCurdy, great show there. Also, Vic Ferrari's Symphony on the Rocks. And then you can't forget about the Festival Foods fireworks from 9:45 to 10:05. Or 10:15 or so. That's going to be another great fireworks display.
And then, like I said, Vic Ferrari will take off again after the fireworks and close it out, and it'll be another weekend.
So are you going to do any of the face painting, Jeff?
Am I going to get face painted? Probably not.
No, are you going to do any of the art?
I'm not going to be doing any of the art. I tell you what, we bring a young lady in who does awesome with the kids and the face painting, so that in itself is great.
Oh, come on. I could see you up there wielding a brush.
People probably would not want me to face paint.
He just brings a roller in, just one color, just okay.
I could do like a smiley face or something.
CelebrateOnAlaska.com if you want more information. Chief, thanks a lot for stopping in and talking with us about this morning. Also, thanks for doing this. Great, a great family fun event, and it's totally free. CelebrateOnAlaska.com for more information. It's going on this weekend. You're looking for something fun to do? Don't miss out. Great music, great family fun, great fireworks. Celebrate on Alaska. 7:53 is the time. Good morning. My name is Bob. It's BS with Bob Schmidt. 59 degrees, our current temperature. Ray Howell joining me this morning. And started off with a young man that caused some trouble, had a mentor, told him about hunting, and that was many years ago, and here it is. How many years ago was that, Ray?
I'm afraid to say. I'm looking at probably 40 years ago.
Really? Yeah, so 45 years ago, your life changed, and it used to be a troublemaker. I know we've had this conversation on the air before, so that's why Pharaoh is okay to talk about. But used to be a troublemaker. Now you're changing lives.
Well, I'll tell you, God put me through some things when I was younger to learn a few things. I just didn't have a dad, and I went down the wrong path. And I thought I was a tough kid. I didn't listen to my mom, and I went on the streets and did whatever I wanted to do. But the sad thing about it was those things started because not being good in sports and not having somebody to have your back, telling you, yep, next time you'll do better, and being bullied by other kids. I'll tell you what, getting the ever-living daylights beat out of you, it wasn't fun. So I started hanging around with other kids that had the same type of problems, just to more or less protect myself. But then what ends up happening, you start getting involved with a little drinking, a little carrying on and chasing girls, and then not going home at night. And that's really where I was at. Mm-hmm. And then school was very, very secondary in my life. And so that's the path I was on.
Yeah, but you look at it there. You look at, 45 years ago, 50 years ago, that was the path. Now you look at how many people have you helped, how many people have you taught, how many people have you mentored into, a better, stronger faith, a better, stronger, life, a better, stronger, just making these young people men and women.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome to witness what God does. I'll tell you what, I'm not good enough or tough enough, but boy, I'll tell you what, I've been on the front line, and what an amazing thing to see, especially these kids that don't have the opportunity to do things in the outdoors. And when we put on the camps, they get to do all this stuff for free, and then put on the group fishing trips and the group hunting trips. I'll tell you what, watching a kid harvest his first animal, and the neat thing about it is it impacts them and puts dreams in their hearts, gives them confidence, and then next thing you know, they fed their family for a whole year with a deer. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty awesome to be a part of it.
So Kicking Bear, tell me about the start of that.
Well, it did start when I was 5 years old, the day my dad left. That's the way I look at it. And God allowed a few things to happen in my life that I would learn what it would be like to be a kid from a broken home. And going through all the things that I went through, it was pretty eye-opening. And, sitting in jail at 13 years old was not fun. I ran away from my foster home so many times. I hated living there, absolutely hated it. I liked working. I just didn't like the idea of having somebody that didn't care about me. And I was just somebody there to work and milk cows. And last time I was in jail, I made my mind up. I wasn't going back to that home no matter what. And I was going to head out to the big cities where nobody knew me. I was scared to death, but I didn't care anymore. And
fast forwarded all these years, you got Kicking Bear. A guy in La Crescent, Minnesota's got a ministry that runs all across the country. You got new places popping up around the world, and you've got a Kicking Bear Mud Fest coming up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we're going to tear it up pretty good. I'll tell you what, we're going to have two mud pits. There's going to be tug of wars. There's going to be watermelon eating contests and archery and throwing tomahawks and all different kinds of games that we are going to do. We're going to try and find out who is the biggest redneck team on the planet, and also who is the biggest redneck on the planet. So there's going to be team games and individual games, and we're going to have a blast. And we'll be down there with the fire department squirting people with hoses. And I'll tell you, normally when you come to Kicking Beer, you're going to be sore for about 3 days afterwards because you've had so much fun. This ought to be an absolute riot.
So where is it? Where is the Big Bear or the Kicking Bear Mudfest?
We're going to be on County Trunk B, where the Bethany Church is at. They have a big area over there, and we've already dug some pits for the mud and stuff, and there's going to be a big water slide. And so we'll be right off of County Trunk B.
So is it free to everybody?
It is free to everybody, and we have food that is going to be free to everybody. And so all you got to do is just show up and prepare to be hooting and hollering and having some fun.
So when is it?
That'll be the 28th, and okay. It'll start about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So on Wednesday the 28th, coming up a week from tomorrow?
That's right, yes.
And then so 4 o'clock till when? Just go all night? Or
well, they said 8 o'clock, but I'll guarantee you there'll be things rolling around at 12 o'clock at night with the bonfire and everything else. Oh, yeah. Anytime you put a limit to something, it don't stop. You're just having too much fun.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Kicking Bear, you guys do a lot of things. And you, like you mentioned earlier, you're teaching kids to harvest the first animal, teaching a kid how to fish, teaching a kid how to hunt, teaching a kid how to do a lot of different things. How many? Do you have any idea on how many kids across the country you've helped out?
Last year we did 117 events throughout the United States, and the average event was about 600 people. So I have no idea.
Wow.
And the amazing thing about it is, you know, it's just like a few loaves of bread and a few fish that you read in the scriptures that that fed 5,000. I'll tell you, every weekend I see it where the Lord has blessed this thing so that nobody pays a dime to be a part of it. And, you know, they get food and they get all the things they need. Plus, we give out hats and T-shirts to kids. I have no idea. In 17 years of Kicking Bear, how this thing has been able to stay free like that to everyone.
17 years strong. Coming up next next Wednesday, the 28th, at Bethany Free on County Trunk B, a free event for the kids. It's the Kicking Bear Mud Fest. Chance to get dirty, a chance to have a lot of fun, a chance, you said, to throw a tomahawk. That sounds like it'd be cool. Plus, you get to eat.
Yep. Well, the other thing, too, Bob, it isn't just for the kids. I'm telling you, it's kids of all ages. All right. I don't care if you're 65 years old or if you're 5 years old. Come on to it. We got games for everybody.
Very good. Kickingbear.org if you want more information. Ray Howell, thanks a lot for stopping in and chatting with me this morning. It is 8 o'clock. It's 8:10. My name is Bob. It's BS with Bob Schmidt. Chris Calloway joining me in the studio, and Robert wanted me to give you this ball.
Oh, thank you.
First thing I figured I'd because I forgot about it until I just saw you right now. But Robert ended up getting the home run ball that one of the players hit the other
Garrett
day.
Garrett Chrisman, one of the infielders from Butler.
All right, and that was his first home run ball as a logger.
Correct.
So there you go. Give that to him.
Okay.
Robert said he wanted to, but he's just busy with baseball and stuff. Did you read my Daily Dose of BS yesterday?
With bringing in the ringers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? As a sports guy, what do you think about that?
I mean, you kind of put together a team at the beginning of the season. You're not making trades and signing free agents at, you know, the 16-year-old level. So, I mean, if you're short guys, you know, if there's like a, you know, smallpox outbreak on the team and you need to bring in a bunch of players, that's one thing. But
right. You
said players were still sitting on the bench, not getting into the game while these new guys were.
Five of the kids didn't play at all.
Of the original team.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, as a father of one of the kids that sat on the bench the whole time, it's very disappointing. But I talked to some of the other parents. They had a game last night, so their original team had a game last night,
mm-hmm.
and they won handily. They actually played better than the made-up team that they made for the weekend.
Well, there's chemistry.
There absolutely is. I mean, these guys are like rooting for each other and wanting to. I mean, you heard none of that catcalling from the bench during the tournament. You heard a lot of it last night. It was just, you know. But I just wonder what your thoughts were as a sports guy, because I'm not really a sports guy.
Did he talk to the coach at all? Or
coach won't even talk to the parents.
Oh, that's actually not a terrible idea.
Well, I honestly, I agree, because a lot of parents like to coach from the bench or coach, mm-hmm. you know, from the side. And I honestly know nothing about – I just go there and I watch.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's not my place to say something.
Like, I almost wouldn't want to be a youth coach these days just because the parents you have to deal with, the calls and the emails, why isn't little Johnny playing? Why aren't you doing this? It's like, you know, if you want to be the coach, you can sign up and, you know, take your crack at it. But I am the coach. You need to respect that. So back off a little bit.
So back the heck off. Yeah, but I just wanted to find out what your opinions were when it came to that. What else? What is there? What's going on?
I mean, there's baseball. There's the NBA draft this week.
Well, before, you know, actually, speaking of baseball, was at the dentist's office yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and as you know, they're drilling the hole right here. The Brewers are in first place. I'm like, so the Brewers are. That isn't that shocking?
That at this point they're still in first place. Yes, I mean every week that goes by and they're still doing what they're doing is definitely an encouraging thing. Last night was not maybe the greatest game in the world. The Pittsburgh Pirates got the best of them, but I was at the game on Sunday with my dad for Father's Day and with, you know, a couple other members of my family. And it was a heck of a game. Jimmy Nelson pitched a complete game. He was pretty dominant over the course of the middle innings. He had enough left in the tank at the end of the game to finish it out. The game only took about 2.5 hours, which is something you rarely see. But it was a really good performance by the Brewers. And, you know, it's those types of pitching performances and, you know, the competent level of starting pitching going forward that's going to kind of keep this team, you know, in the position where it's at, because the offense is as good as anybody's in the league. Mm-hmm. And so if they can, you know, keep up with the pitching, they'll be able to kind of tread some water and maybe see what happens here in the NL Central.
You know, it's kind of funny that, like, that a single player or a couple of players mm-hmm. can make up a team.
Sure.
I mean, but we see it all the time, though, like in a lot of the sport. You know, you look at basketball, you've got, you know, your couple of guys that are, they're making up a team. You look at football, same kind of thing. Baseball, it's amazing that a guy that had his starting roots kind of in lacrosse is kind of even though he's a new kid on the block, is kind of making a difference on a team.
Yeah, Eric Thames coming in with now 20 home runs this season, which I believe is still the NL lead. He had a pretty impressive week. He had home runs in 4 straight games. It would have been Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Is he on track to be like the Sammy Sosa, you know what I mean?
No, not those, quite.
Okay, yeah. Or the Mark McGwire times,
because
that those guys were.
Those okay, so the record is Barry Bonds with 73, and the Brewers are about at the 72-game mark right now. So you'd think you'd need to be creeping up on that halfway mark of 35 home runs, give or take, if you're going to keep up that pace the whole season. So he could get to, you know, 46, 48 home runs if he's able to really keep this up over the course of the whole season, but I think if he got into the upper 30s even, that'd be more than welcome and, you know, a heck of a value for what they're paying him over the next couple of years.
So what kind of a payday does a guy like that make?
I believe they signed him for a 3-year $15 million contract, which is
only $5 million a year?
Right.
Please.
There are players in the league easily making upwards of $20 million a year. And
oh, really?
They're going to be guys they're guessing that Bryce Harper, who is the young outfielder for the Washington Nationals, I believe he's only like 24 and he's already a multi-time MVP All-Star. They're guessing that he's going to sign a $300 million deal.
To play outfield.
It'll probably be over the course of 9 or 10 years, but he's going to get, you know, over $250 million easily. You know, there used to be the deal back when Alex Rodriguez signed with the Texas Rangers in the early 2000s. I believe it was 2002. He signed a 10-year $252 million deal, and that was kind of the highest contract that had ever been signed, $25 million a year. For a guy like Alex Rodriguez, that's a future Hall of Famer, you know exactly what you're going to get. And now, you know, there's more money in the league. And so the idea of a $300 million contract is definitely in play. And that really can only happen in a sport like baseball where there's no salary cap.
But, you know, honestly, Chris, you look at that and you look at when we went, because you and I went to a game a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was for Lacrosse Area Day. And I looked around the stands. My son and I were able to sit. We walked down to behind home plate and sat 8 rows up
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday afternoon game.
Right.
There was nobody. I mean, there was hardly anybody in the stands. There was like they said like 22,000 people in the stands that seats you know 50,000+ people.
Mm-hmm.
How can they give that kind of money to a single player when there's, you know, 52 other people on the team, and they got to pay for the
how many of your friends watch Brewers on TV? How many of them have Brewers T-shirts and jerseys. How many of them, you know, when they go to the stadium, buy beer and nachos and when you eat at the game? And you're paying $15 for parking when you go into the lots. And you
know, that's still, I mean, but that's still a an awful lot of, because then that gets diluted. Okay, you mentioned parking, $15. Okay, you got to pay the people that are there parking it. You got to pay for the property tax on that. You got to pay. I mean, everything gets diluted. How do they afford to pay a single person that much? To me, it just doesn't make any sense.
The money's out there. I mean, you look at Sunday Night Baseball. You know, they got the Cubs versus the Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball that ESPN is paying for. They're paying out the rear end for the rights to have that primetime premier game. And, you know, with the money that gets split up over the course of the whole league, there's plenty of money out there. And, you know, it's not just one crazy owner that's willing to give Bryce Harper $300 million. It's what the market is willing to bear out for him. Because if, you know, if the Washington Nationals aren't willing to pony up for him, you better believe that the New York Yankees or somebody else is going to fall in line to you know, acquire his services for the right paycheck.
No, but don't, I mean, when it comes to the most important position in a baseball team, I would think catcher and pitcher.
Okay.
First base. And then maybe left field.
Okay.
But I mean, you know what? I mean, am I wrong?
I would not put probably many of those in my top.
No, you need to have a good pitcher in order to
there's a concept of being strong up the middle. You know, really good teams are strong up the middle, from your catcher to your pitcher, second base and shortstop, center field. Those are some of your best players right up the middle.
Right.
You know, defensively, they need to be very, very sound because the center fielder's kind of leading the charge in the outfield, and you need your best defenders, you know, where the ball gets hit the most at second and short. And then, you know, your starting pitching is very, very important because that can, you know, get you out of a game really quickly. You know, if they come in and just lay an egg, throw meatballs down the pipe, you're going to be down, you know, 5-6-0 before you know what happened. Catcher is important, but the rapport between the catcher and the pitcher is even more important. You know, it's one of those positions where you're willing to sacrifice offensively if they're able to do what they can defensively. I mean, it's the reason there aren't a ton of catchers that are household names, because they're the guys doing the dirty work behind the plate. The guys that you've heard of are most likely the guys who are also good offensively, which makes them that much better than their peers. But, you know, I think if you could have anything, I would have, you know, a competent starting pitching staff, especially with the way that the playoffs is drawn up, where you might just get a one-game play-in game in the playoffs. Because, you know, if you win your division, you get a whole series, but they take two playoff teams and they have to play one game against each other.
And so they get the opportunity. So you get,
right.
I mean, you have to have superb pitching.
Right. You need to basically understand that we need one guy that can beat their guy when all the lights are shining, so we can even have the opportunity to go play a five-game series against them.
Has anybody ever taken that play-in game and gone?
Yes.
Far?
Yes. I can't think off the top of my head, but it is very common to see a team continue on through the playoffs from that wild card. I want to say the Giants in 2014 did that. I don't have that off the top of my head, but yeah, it's not horribly uncommon. Given the fact that the MLB playoffs is smaller. There are fewer teams. There are only 8 teams that qualify, whereas in the NFL, I believe there's 12 teams, and in the NBA, there's 16 teams. Mm-hmm. So just the chance of one of those playoff teams, you know, advancing farther into the playoffs is better in the major leagues.
Chris Calloway is sports director here at the Lacrosse Media Group, but he's also doing the weekend kickoff show between 9 and 11 Saturday mornings here on Today's Talk 1490. You can catch it streaming online as you do this show. You can also listen to the podcast as well, right? Mm-hmm. You have podcasts of the show out there on the – how do you find those?
Sports page. Sports They're at page. The bottom. They got the little carousel down there.
Okay. So, I mean, so you get a lot of things. But I guess the main reason that I brought up, you know, who I thought the players were, but outfielder seems to be not a $300 million position. You would think that you'd pay your pitcher and your catcher and, you know, your other guys before you'd pay an outfielder. A guy that, when you watch as a fan that watches baseball, they may have some speed, but a lot of times those guys are just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so what makes that person worth $300 million?
You know, they're going to be a guy that hits in the middle of the order. You know, it's going to probably be a guy that's going to drive in a lot of runs from the 3 spot or the 4 spot. And they're also going to be the face of the franchise. You know, they're going to be out front in marketing materials, which you can't necessarily put.
That's where Ryan Braun was.
You know, yeah, and they're going to sell a lot of jerseys with Harper 34 on the back of it, and that's going to, you know, have a tangible value to the organization. And, you know, Bryce Harper is a pretty squeaky clean guy. You know, some people might think he's a little bit aloof, but he's never had any sort of legal trouble or anything like that. And so it's a guy that a front office, a marketing department, a GM, an owner, that they'll be more than happy to kind of hitch their wagon to. And if you're going to take a chance at writing that kind of check, he's the kind of guy that I think would command it.
Huh. He just looks like a normal dude.
Yeah, I mean, he was a prodigy. He got his GED early so that he could go to a junior college and play at a higher level of baseball. He graduated high school at 16, got 2 years of junior college in at 18, and then he was eligible to be drafted, and he went number one overall to the Washington Nationals when he was 18 years old and came up to the big leagues not long after that. So he's, what, 24 years old, I think? He was probably born in 1992. Yeah.
Born in 92.
Yeah, so he's a
$100 million man.
And that's the idea of giving him a 10-year contract, is that that'll only go into his mid-30s. You know, he'll probably have another contract on the backside of that,
what
too.
Would you do? What would you possibly do with that much money? That's what I wanted. I mean, what in the world could you do with $300 million?
What would you do with $10 million? I mean,
I would change the world. I would try to do something good is what mm-hmm. I would do. I mean, seriously, if I had that kind of money, I'd try to do good with the little money that I have.
And he's a man of faith. He, I believe, is a Mormon. Not totally sure what he did with his Mormon mission, but he is a guy that is you know, I think, willing to give back and do something like that. And that's maybe just the icing on the cake, the cherry on the sundae for a guy like that, that he's, you know, a pretty well-rounded individual.
Now, when you have the faith that's behind you, where you don't do anything on a Sunday, do they not play on a Sunday?
I don't know if he has exemptions. He
but
played.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I mean, that's one of the
there have been players. I mean, I'm struggling to think of an example off the top of my head, but like Jewish players that refuse to play after sundown on a Saturday night or something
right.
like that. I don't know if, you know, you get the blessing from on high that you're allowed to, you know, go because what you're doing on TV on Sunday night is, you know, helping to share their faith and bringing more attention to, you know, they're willing to compromise on stuff like that.
Okay. All right. We talked enough about baseball. I know
sure.
that the Loggers have a game tonight. You can go to that if it's not raining. PGA. The Hayden went down there this last week mm-hmm. and watched a little bit of the practice. Then he went out of town after that. But somebody said that a blimp went down.
Yeah. I don't think anybody got hurt, but a blimp went down. Like
why was that
Thursday.
Not like huge news?
Because I don't think anybody got hurt.
I mean, like our last blimp I remember going down was like the Hindenburg. That's what
it was a little different than
okay.
the Hindenburg.
But,
yeah.
So basically, was it like a Goodyear blimp, one of those size type ones?
I don't think it was quite Goodyear blimp size, but a little bit. I didn't know blimps were like still.
I didn't think so either. Yeah. People use drones now.
Right. So
just kind of.
I didn't hear a ton about it, but you know, the Erin Hills. One of the things we're talking about is how wide open it is.
Uh-huh.
So you know, there aren't a ton of trees. There isn't a lot that would be horribly damaging to a blimp if it went down. So I guess if you're going to have a blimp crash anywhere, a wide open golf course is probably a good place to do it.
Do they parachute out or do they climb down a ladder? I mean, is it a slow descent? I mean, I don't
just,
know.
Wee.
Just like letting a balloon,
yeah.
air out of a balloon doesn't kind of go
all
like
over the
this.
Place.
Hey, look at that. I'm not trying to make fun
no,
of that,
yeah.
but you know, it's just
we
like,
can make fun a little bit because nobody got hurt.
Because nobody got hurt. Right. Speaking of golf, Tiger Woods going to treatment apparently now mm-hmm. over his whole addiction is DUI, driving under the influence, falling asleep.
Yeah. Well, he got pulled over, obviously, or he was already pulled over, kind of slumped in his car, passed out, but he blew zeros on the breathalyzer, which is almost a good thing and a bad thing. It's like, okay, he wasn't driving drunk, but
he's driving under the influence.
Got some says, other
yeah,
issues.
Says, don't where it says when it says in small writing, don't operate heavy machinery.
Mm-hmm.
He operated heavy machinery.
Yeah. So I mean, it's you hope there's a comeback on the backside of this somewhere.
You think there will be?
I don't know. Just because the golf, I think, is a sport where there's such a fine like level of success. You know, there's such a fine line between, you know, going out winning the Masters and, you know, just being a duffer on a Saturday afternoon at your local municipal course. You know, there's the guys that are able to do it consistently and have the mental fortitude to, you know, have the discipline to be that top level type of player are the guys that have success. You know, there are a lot of physical tools that are needed, but I think you need to have it right between the ears as well if you're going to have that type of success. So it would have been cool to see a guy like Tiger Woods, you know, be competitive at Erin Hills over the weekend. You know, not a lot of people knew the winner, a guy by the name of Brooks Koepka, but
I got a Brooks Koepka.
See, I mean, there's a lot of young guys in golf. The old guard, maybe not as present as it had been in different generations, but you know, there's a lot of talent there. But you'd like to see a guy like Tiger Woods still being.
Do you think Tiger Woods would be like the next Arnold Palmer kind of, you know, guy?
The guy they roll out for the ceremonial first drive, and
you think it'd be like the Bart Starr? You know what I mean? Just kind of the guy that's just there, silent Pete Rose.
Those guys all have like pretty squeaky clean reputations, though. Yeah. I mean, when you see Tiger Woods now, are you thinking about him putting on the green jacket at Augusta in '98 when he's 21 years old, or are you thinking of the guy that his wife is chasing him down the highway, beating the front of his car with a 9-iron because he's, you know, banging cocktail waitresses?
You know, I don't think that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought of him as like a golfer. You know, everybody makes mistakes.
Sure.
We all do. We got about we only have about a minute left. So let's talk about NBA draft. How are the Bucks? Are they going
to? They got 17, so they got a long way to go. The Timberwolves are at number 7. So the Bucks just got a new GM this week, which was something I didn't necessarily think was going to happen. But they at least got somebody in place that's going to oversee things on Thursday night. There was a big trade the other day shaking up the top of the draft, the 76ers and the Celtics swapping picks. So the 76ers are going to go first, Lakers second, Celtics third, Phoenix Suns fourth. That's actually the same exact top four as it was a year ago in 2016, and that's never happened before.
You talking about that this weekend then?
Yes, we will be wrapping that up in full because it's only two rounds. It'll be Saturday night or Thursday night.
Very good. Weekend kickoff Saturdays from 9 to 11 here on Today's Talk 1490. Chris Calloway, thanks a lot for stopping in, chatting with us this morning. As we mentioned, his show, the weekend kickoff 9 to 11 right here on Today's Talk 1490. It is 8:30. Thanks a lot for listening this morning. It's BS with Bob Schmidt here on Today's Talk 1490. Light rain falling in on Alaska, as well as all across the listening area. 59 degrees right now, looking for a high of 75 later this afternoon. Good night to watch some baseball. I know the lacrosse logger is playing later this evening, and by tonight, just going to be nice and a beautiful day to watch some baseball. It's 8:38. My name is Bob. My next guest, my final guest of the day, Lynn Fuller joining me. Lynn wrote a book and has written a couple of books, but it has dealing with secrets to successful events. And, you know, living here in the Cooley region, there's always an event going on, including this weekend with Celebrate on Alaska. There's Riverfest on the way. What, Lynn, makes a good event?
Oh, I would say that it's the crowd that can generate the energy, the excitement for it. And so sometimes that is a domino that is knocked over by the type of event that it is, be it a food festival, music festival, and the interest in that event.
So how do you build that audience in order to get people interested in your event?
A lot of it comes down to the information that is on a website, because that's where I think everyone goes nowadays to find out little information ranging from what time does it start, where do I park, when's this particular group performing, can I bring alcohol, can I bring lawn chairs, so it's just a full range of information. So a website is very important. Social media nowadays with Facebook, keeping that updated is very important as well. And two, if you're, and I'm assuming there might be a publicity committee that is actually communicating by social media. So making sure that even throughout the event they're saying, this parking lot's full, but you should all head over to XYZ parking lot instead. Mm-hmm. So that just the whole internet online communication is just vital.
You ever heard of a great event that had superb things going on and you threw an event and nobody showed up?
No, but I do know of an event that said we'll be fine as long as it doesn't rain. We'll have enough parking as long as it doesn't rain.
So what do you do in a situation like that where it's like, uh-oh, we've got it. We've got this all set up, and we're fine except for blank, and blank happens. What do you do then?
Pray would be the first thing.
Cry?
But you really need to... You really need to go in having plan Bs in place. What happens when traffic backs up on the roadways getting in because they can't get in the parking lot? What happens if it rains? What happens if you've got a local union, perhaps tied to the city, and they decide they want to picket at your event because they know they've got a large audience of people to be involved with? So you really have to think outside the box and prepare for any crazy thing that could happen.
How do you get?
Because I always feel that if you go on.
No, I was just going to say, how do you prepare for something like that you don't even think is even a remote possibility? Now all of a sudden you got picketers at your, you got a fun family event going on, and all of a sudden you got some people that are holding, their picketing sign. That I wouldn't even know where to begin on something like that. What do you do?
You can hope. Well, what you'll probably find in a situation like that is that the city is a sponsor. So you really have to have a team of volunteers that's coordinating the event that have their ear to the ground. Mm-hmm. They need to be plugged in to the leadership in the community and just really have a good grasp of what's going on in town.
Is there a way to spin that to a positive once something like that negative is showing up and happening?
To some extent, I wouldn't necessarily say positive as much as make sure that your publicity team can all... It's almost as if you say, okay, everyone look over here, which is the exact opposite side of where they're picketing. So you need to kind of drive the energy in a different direction.
Okay.
And it's kind of like when a child is in a restaurant and they get a little loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like focus on other things. It's kind of... refocus your attention.
Lynn Fuller, my guest this morning, Secrets to Successful Events. What makes you a professional at successful events, Lynn?
The volume of them that I have done, the number of events that we have helped increase their bottom line revenue, that we have found ways to actually have volunteers wanting to come back year after year, vendors that say wonderful things about the event and how well they're communicated to.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a few of the things.
So what makes it different an event that Lynn does compared to an event that Bob does?
It's the details. The devil's in the details. And you would be surprised at little things that don't happen that can make a difference. Saying thank you to your entertainers. Saying thank you to the people that come. If you're doing an event during the time of the World Series, you need to make sure that your MC that's talking between acts actually brings everybody up to speed as to what the score is. It's the little things.
Oh, that's interesting because, we've all been to events, I think, that have happened during something else, and you don't know what the outcome is until you get home and getting to know it as you're going on, I think that would add to it, definitely. I've been involved in a lot of public service type things that have been going on for years, and they just seem to kind of run themselves after a while. What can be the problem with things that have run well for many years when all of a sudden it goes into, automatic drive rather than actually working on it?
I actually did a blog post on that, and my point was that there's a point at which some events just have run their course, and you need to recognize that and walk away, or you may want to give the event to another organization that's better served, because sometimes the mission of why it started no longer really exists, or it's shifted over time, and you also need to look at, do you just need fresh blood running it? Because sometimes people just get too familiar with it, it's just too pat, and you really need to just, the event may not be bringing in new, fresh people that will look at it differently and are not receptive to change.
But, some of the event, there's one event that I'm thinking of in particular that still is successful. They still do, you know, they still bring in money. They still have a lot of people that show up to it. May not be a lot of new people every year that do it, but they continually bring in more money than they did the previous year. But it just kind of runs on overdrive, or it runs automatically now. They have committees, but they don't really have to do much because everything just kind of does itself.
I would still start to inject new people, because then it's new, fresh ideas. You need to be able to adapt to the new technologies. You may also want to look at just a new logo, a new whole brand identity to it. You want to give people an excuse to have to buy a new T-shirt with the new logo, with the new colors. Mm-hmm. So switching it up, you don't have to, you know, change it up a lot, but still just freshen it up just a bit.
What are a couple of the secrets that somebody could use for, you know, to freshen up maybe a golf outing that they have, or a community chicken dinner to raise money for, you know, for something? What are just a few things that they could do in order to help them gain better notoriety or better publicity, or, you know, to have it be a better, more attended event?
And I know with golf tournaments in particular, they are challenged because the number of golfers are diminishing across a larger demographic. So it may be a bring your child with you so that you can start influencing that next generation. Mm-hmm. I think the workforce in general as to how people can get away to golf during the day is much more difficult. You may want to tap into, depending upon who the nonprofit agency is that I think probably is the benefactor, you may want to just look at can their volunteers afford to do it? Or is the agency working with the same organizations or vendors that they always have, which is the same people that they keep going back to? So you may want to open it up and actually share the funds with another organization, and that right away will bring in a new group of people. So while it may seem like you're splitting funds, you can actually get more new, fresh attendance. Chicken dinner, let's see. If folks are going more the healthy route nowadays in their diets, there may be just a whole new push that the chicken dinner may not just necessarily be a fried chicken dinner, but baked, or look at other food options. So that will actually drive interest from a new market segment that might go, oh, it's just fried chicken. I don't, you know, I'm allergic to gluten, or I react to it. And so therefore, you've got people that have, like, there's been a barrier to entry. So if you open those doors up, you could also do cooking demonstrations.
Right.
That could help. I know some that are doing auction items. And so a lot of times when those people have donated those auction items, they can actually want to come or create a greater awareness for those to show up that they might not have otherwise. And again, the kids are always a great entertainment option. Go to your local gyms, ballet classes, and see if you can incorporate them into some of the programming. And normally I say earlier in the day, because that's a time when, if you normally don't have good attendance, a peak or a valley, drive that entertainment into a valley time, and then you're more likely to have grandma and grandpa and the aunts and the uncles and the sisters and brothers come out for that entertainment.
Interesting.
So those are just a few of the things.
Those are actually some really good ideas. Lynn Fuller, my guest this morning, lynnfuller.com for more information. Wrote a couple of books. One of them, Secrets to Successful Events. The other one is Secrets to Successful Events Resource Guide. So how does somebody know when their event has run its course? Because I think that sometimes we it seems like we're running, you know, this thing forever and kind of beating a dead horse as you see less and less people showing up. And, you know, somebody just doesn't want to give up the ghost, if you will.
There's a couple clear indicators. If you're having a very difficult time getting sponsors, or if you're having a very difficult time getting volunteers, and I say more that the grassroots volunteers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in a situation like that, if, for instance, the city is a sponsor or your bigger sponsor, you say you've got a financial institution as a sponsor, they really need to pull the event aside and go, listen, we love the event, we love what you do, but it's just not working. You're not giving us the exposure that we originally started with. You're not attracting the numbers, the audience. And unfortunately, we think we need to, like, step back. And if the event were to be re-energized or certain things to happen, we'd certainly consider it again. But that sponsor can sometimes be that first domino that can go. It can be the bad guy, unfortunately, be the bad guy.
Right. I'm just wondering, because I look at, because I don't know if you're familiar with the La Crosse, Wisconsin area, but we've got festivals going on almost every weekend. There's something, you know, you can find something to do in a, you know, within a 50-mile radius every weekend. There's either a festival or a hoedown days, or, you know what I mean? Something going on.
Mm-hmm.
So who would do best with your book, Lynn?
It is geared towards festival and event organizers that do seek sponsorship, are run by volunteers, can be nonprofit fundraisers. It was written to work with food, beer, wine, music festivals. It can also adapt to air shows, book festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of information throughout the book that can be used by all different types of events. It discusses concessions and vendors, exhibitors, what kind of contracts you need with them, and how that whole area works. So whether it's a food concession or an actual exhibitor for, say, a convention center or a hotel, that all comes into play. But typically I find that outdoor events will find it extremely useful.
You know, every one of those things you mentioned, we have in the area. So if anybody...
Good looking, for me. Good.
Exactly. If anybody knows of anybody that's running any of those events, get a hold of Lynn. I mean, I think that the information that you have here is fantastic and help out a lot of different organizations, you know, be the best festival that they can. How do we find more information, Lynn?
You can go to my website, which is www.lynn, L-Y-N-N, last name Fuller, F-U-H-L-E-R.com. Books available on Amazon and also at major booksellers.
Very cool. Good luck with the sale of your book, and hopefully we'll see it. We'll see a festival using some of those ideas soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lynn. Have a great day. Lynn Fuller, my guest this morning here on Today's Talk, 1490. 8:52 is the time. My name is Bob. It's BS with Bob Schmidt on Today's Talk. Thanks a lot for listening.